right.
Okay.
Well, you coughed all over my intro.
Sorry, I didn't realize.
If you do need to cough, you can.
Sure.
Just when once we leave.
I'm going to just wait until you're talking and then do it then.
This is the third episode of the Movie to Read podcast. And in terms of movies, everyone knows the third is always the best.
Yeah.
Shrek the Third, the best film in the franchise. Mm-hmm. The third Pirates of the Caribbean, the best one. So I feel like this is going to be the best episode of the podcast.
Goldfinger, third James Bond film.
That meant nothing to me.
It's a pretty good film.
Honestly, we'll come on to it. I've seen like half of a James Bond film.
Okay.
Which, yeah, is like sacrilege to you.
Yes, I'm containing my rage, but that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, what people can't see is you're actually gripping my thigh really tightly. At least I hope it's my thigh. Why did I lower myself to that?
So, Daniel.
Oh, I made a cock joke.
You did.
Seconds in. But there's going to be plenty more of that. Where that comes from?
Fantastic.
Shouldn't have said comes from after a cock joke.
Makes me think of cum.
And that is movies on the Movie Dweeb. As you may have heard him talking about cum already, I'm joined by a very good friend of mine.
Oh.
You are a much better interviewer than I am.
No.
You have a much better podcast than I have.
Well,
I'm really starting to think the mighty have fallen at this point. Thank you for joining me, Benedict Townsend.
Thank you very much, Dan. It is a pleasure to be here on the Movie Dweeb.
Oh.
Da dan 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 da Movie Dweeb. Dan.
I'm going to use that. You're going to get no royalties from it because I make bugger all from this podcast. If anything, I'm really out of profit from hiring the studio.
I know that feeling very well from my own podcast endeavours. It's a business where you only lose money, and that's great.
We don't have to keep plugging your podcast now. Like, I've done it.
What? Talk of the Townsend's my podcast.
That's all getting blurred out.
Fair enough.
How are you doing there? You good?
I'm fantastic. It's a pleasure to be here. We've been pals for a good few years.
Yep.
And I've been following the Movie Dweeb with great curiosity and jealousy, because you're doing great.
Thank you.
Yes. And I thought, finally, a celeb on the show.
I mean, that's not really hurtful to me. That's just hurtful to the other people that have been on this podcast, which I'm okay with. I like a bit of animosity on here.
Sure.
Who would you like to come on next after you that could do some fighting talk to you? And I'll get them.
Who is more well-known than me? My God. It would have to be my boy Tom Cruise.
Which is, I think annoyingly, he's busy next week.
Yes. Well, he's Mission Impossible-ing.
Maybe after that, I could probably get him.
He's a famously chill guy.
Yeah.
With an easy schedule.
Do you know, apparently, if you interview him once, he gives you a coconut cake every Christmas for the rest of your life.
Wow.
Only if he likes the interview.
Okay.
So I've known people that have interviewed him and don't get the cake.
They get a poison cake.
But isn't that nuts?
I love that. Why coconut as well? That's so fun.
I'd love to interview Tom Cruise. Oh. I fucking hate coconut.
Mm.
So I'd think I'd actively go out of my way to make it a dreadful one.
Yeah, you'd be doing it on purpose.
Yeah, and that's kind of the interviewer I am.
Well, that way, if you do a bad job, which you wouldn't do, of course, Dan, but if you did accidentally do a bad job, like if the ceiling caved in, you could be like, well, it's just because I hate coconut so much.
And I do that at any time, like any interview. I'm like, if it goes a bit wrong, I'm like, well, you never know. Sydney Sweeney might have given me a coconut cake, so that's why it was bad.
I think there's been more than enough discussion of Sydney Sweeney's coconuts.
I'm so proud of us. I'm really pleased that this is who we are.
I usually do a podcast with my wife, and I like that I get to be on a bawdy podcast for the boys.
Should we just take our tops off and wrestle?
Yes. I'm also, it is so warm in this room. I'm sorry, if anyone's, the millions of people who are watching on clips on TikTok, I'm sorry that I'm so shiny right now, but I...
But this is 5 minutes into it, and we've got another 55 minutes.
It's the heat of good podcasting.
When I said, should we take our tops off and wrestle? That wasn't to be butch, that was just to cool down.
Yeah.
As you said, we have been good friends for a long time. I think a lot of people may know you through TikTok.
Hopefully.
But what a lot of people may not know is the real you. An absolute monster.
Mm.
Narcissistic.
Difficult.
I mean, that's why I want Tom Cruise on, because again, notoriously, very easy guy.
Yeah, exactly. A nice contrast. Yeah.
So I was thinking, you know what? Let's let the people know you.
Mm.
With a little game that I say I like to call Two Truths, One Lie. Everyone likes to call it that because that's the name of the game.
It's so fun to call it that.
Have you got three statements?
I'm now remembering that I haven't done this, but I think I can wing this.
I mean, I didn't give you much time, like 20 minutes before we came in. I was like, by the way, I've prepped nothing.
Yes.
You do the work for my podcast.
I can give you them, but I think it'll be pretty evident which ones are.
Good.
When I was born, I had the umbilical cord wrapped around my neck and there was a knot in it. So I nearly died.
Okay, cheery stuff.
Is that a truth or a fun lie? Chris Pratt once handed me a solved Rubik's Cube. And he went, hey, buddy, here's your cube.
Did he do it in that awful not American accent?
I think he was having a bit of a hard time. I think he had just been hit in the head. And I have never been to, I don't know if you count the UK as Europe, but I've never been to mainland Europe.
I'm going to start off with the umbilical cord.
Okay.
How long did it take to unravel the umbilical cord?
Basically, yeah, I don't remember it very well. I was very young, but I wasn't coming out and they were all a bit baffled. And I think they basically had like a plunger. There's like a medical plunger they used to like plunge the baby's head and just kind of pull it out.
I've seen ER with the plungers. Yeah.
And unfortunately, when the baby has created a noose out of its own umbilical cord, you're just choking the baby more. And then eventually, apparently some random doctor just walked in, worked it out, and just kind of pulled me out, snipped the cord, and was like, here's your baby, and then just walked straight out of the room again, like some kind of badass hero. But I'd like moved around in the womb so much that I'd managed to tie a knot in it and wrap it around my neck.
Was the doctor Chris Pratt? He just completed a Rubik's Cube and was like, and now we level up to the umbilical cord.
Doctor weirdly looked a lot like me from the future. and he appeared in a blaze of light and then disappeared in a blaze of light. It was really weird.
Are you destined to just do this forever?
How does that loop start?
So that one I think is so very likely with plungers and time traveling Benedict.
Yes.
I'm locking that in as a truth.
Okay, if you ever say so.
Chris Pratt, Rubik's Cube, in what situation?
We both used to work in a media environment, yes. Shall we say, and there would sometimes be celebs passing through. And I was late for work, very rare for me. I was late for work. And I'd had a Rubik's Cube on my desk at the time. And I got into work late and I was like really flustered and I didn't notice the cube was missing. And then Chris Pratt walks around the corner and he hands me the cube solved. And he comes in so quickly, I didn't have time to recognize who he was. So he just walked up to me and he went, hey buddy, I solved your cube, and handed me the cube. And I just went, thanks. And I took it and looked at him. And my brain registered for one moment of like, do I know this person? And then he was gone. And then after like 20 seconds, I was like, that was Chris Pratt.
Have you since unraveled the Rubik's Cube, or have you left that as Chris Pratt's cube?
It's now like, it's hermetically sealed now.
Frozen with Walt Disney, like all of the best artifacts.
Yes, yes.
And the third one, what was the third one?
I've never been to mainland Europe.
I don't know what funny anecdotes we can have out of this one. Are you banned?
So no, I've been to America. I went to Egypt. I've just somehow never been miraculously I've never been to France or Italy. It's almost unbelievable, you might say.
Wowie zowie. I want to know again, why have you just never been interested?
Just has never come up.
And that is a fun story with Benedict.
The fun truth.
Tell me what you think Italy's like.
Well, I've only ever seen it on the screen. Yeah. So I imagine, you know, pasta, every tower's got a bit of a lean to it.
That's got to be a lie, because you've summed it up perfectly.
Oh,
you? I think Chris Pratt is true, because he has been in the building.
Yes.
You have got horrific bruising around your neck.
Mm.
So either there's troubles at home, or you were strangled by your umbilical cord. I think you have been to Europe.
I have.
Oh!
You've cracked my code.
Well, I'm going to flip reverse it now.
Okay.
I've got three movie-related ones.
Ooh, exciting, okay.
The first one, I have flashed my nipples to New Girl's Jake Johnson.
Okay, I can believe that.
I have accidentally sent a raunchy text to Will Poulter, a raunchy DM.
Okay.
I have inadvertently moonied Jim Carrey.
I like how there's just a lot of, you know, it's not like the first movie I ever saw was The Muppets. It's all body.
I'm a proper horn dog.
You are. You're a horn dog. Yeah. You've always been, a thing I've admired about you, Dan, is that you've always been very like free, body positive, free with your body.
And I shouldn't be. What? I'm like a slug with legs.
No. But if you've never seen a shirt you couldn't take off, you know what I mean?
Thank you. And again, I've already said we will take them off in this podcast.
We will, and I believe you. That's interesting. So let me break this down. So what was the first one? You flashed a nipple at Jake Johnson. I know you have spoken to Jake Johnson, I'm pretty sure,
yes,
on this show.
Yeah.
So that's viable. And you showing a nipple, but why? But for why?
I think we were talking about our favourite size of areola. No, we weren't. I think we just started off. He was like, oh, how is it in the UK? Because we were on Zoom. And I was like, it's boiling hot. Mm. And I wanted to like sort of like aerate my chest with my shirt. But I love buttons being undone to the belly button. So as I did that, it sort of just, it looked like I just ripped it off and both my breasts were exposed.
That makes sense. We are getting to the season of Dan's fun summer shirts, because you love a fun summer shirt.
Honestly, winter is shit for me. I've got like three jumpers.
Yeah, boring.
But now I can wear little short shorts and Hawaiian shirts, and I'm in my goddamn element.
Can I rewind and just say that my favorite size of areola is Areola Grande? Okay, that seems very viable to me, so I'm going to say that that's true.
Yep.
Now, the DM, I feel like that's something you could have potentially have done as part of your previous job. I don't know how much you talk about where you've worked.
Only to my therapist.
Yes. And then the mooning Jim Carrey. You were there. We
interviewed him on the same day for Sonic.
That was a crazy day. I don't know how much you speak about junket experiences on here, but junkets are a really, that's what you call it when a bunch of journalists go and hide in a hotel room and then talk to the celebs. It's a really unique experience. And one of the strangest elements of it is everyone coming back from having talked to the celeb and being like, that was great, they're really great today and whatever. Yeah. But everyone's a bit braggy, which I find so weird, because it's like, we're all here for the same thing. We've all got access.
Well, you've got to like one up it as well. Like, yeah, he said he's coming to my wedding.
He kissed me.
I'm now pregnant with his baby. What the fuck? Oh.
That one with Jim Carrey was really interesting, because everyone was coming back and everyone was so spellbound by him, because obviously he's just like, you know, so much energy and whatever. And I remember perhaps slightly saltily thinking like, but did you get any questions out of him, or did he just entertain you for 10 minutes? Because that's like, you know, I think you did moon Jim Carrey.
You are very correct. Yay! There as well. He did a bit where he sang a James Blunt song, which I had no idea what it was. It was like a B track, and it was like, I had like 8 minutes with him, and he was doing it for a good 4 minutes. And I was just watching him do it. And then he was like, oh, here, give me a hug, because I pretended to cry at the song. And as I got up, I realised, like, my full bum was out. So, and also, it's like a two-camera shot. So the poor cameraman had just got everything.
Of course.
And as I sort of turned around to go back on my seat again, it was all out. Never interviewed him again after that, which is weird.
No, I wonder why. But I also have not interviewed him again, and my arse was contained. So maybe it was something else.
Okay, maybe it's just we're horrible journalists. Maybe, yeah. I'm going to talk to you about your little buddy, Jimmy B.
Yeah, maybe.
As they call him. The name's B, Jimmy B. James Bond.
Yes.
I have seen like half an hour of about 3 films of James Bond.
Can I guess which ones you've seen?
Yes.
So, you didn't seem that familiar with Goldfinger, so I'm not going to say that one. That's one people may have seen.
Right.
I'm guessing you've probably seen Skyfall.
Yes.
I'm guessing you've maybe seen Casino Royale.
Yes.
And I'm guessing you've maybe seen GoldenEye.
I saw No Time to Die.
Ah, of course.
And I think I've seen, what's the one where Halle Berry emerges from the water?
Die Another Day.
I've seen that one.
That's an interesting one to see.
Yeah, yeah. And from there, I was like, maybe I give them a pause for
yes,
a little
sure,
while.
Yes, sure. So have you not seen Casino Royale?
No, I have seen that. That's the one where someone's sweeping in midair.
I love that that's the number one thing you've retained from that, though.
And I'm pretty sure there was a Bond in it, maybe. Yeah.
To be fair, like, that isn't just like a flub. Like, he is so clearly visible in the background.
Yeah, like, honestly, at one point, I'm sure the broom is above his head. Yeah. He's like sweeping clouds.
I love the mentality, though, of him being like, I'm acting sweeping. You can tell that he got really in his head of like, I'm pretending to sweep, but it's like, but you can just sweep.
An inch lower and you're smashing it.
Yeah.
Imagine how filthy his home is.
Yeah.
Just going around with a vacuum, like, it's not even plugged in, but we let him do it.
But cleanest broom in the land.
But you are a massive, massive Bond fan.
Yeah, that's like the thing I'm a fan of.
Here on the Movie Dweeb, okay. I know every movie that there is. Like, name a movie.
The Godfather, heard of it?
That's a film.
Damn, he's heard of it.
But you know Bond, inside out, left, right, and centre.
More or less, yes.
If I gave you an allotted time period.
Ooh, okay.
Let's say 0070 seconds.
It's quite a long time.
Yeah, actually, maybe you can do it. I'm going to time it. Can you summarise the entire franchise for me? And I will learn. I will learn from you.
Basically, there's a series of books by a guy called Ian Fleming. He writes them in the like late 50s. They're about spy. Spies, but one spy, James Bond.
Even I knew that.
The Ultimate Gentleman Spy, based on his experiences as a spy in the war. They're extremely popular. Then they decide to make them into films. First one they make, Dr. No. Huge smash hit. Arguably sort of the first proper action film. They then take off. Ian Fleming dies. I think he dies before he sees Goldfinger. And it has now been going for 70 years, longest running, I think, consistent film series. And what's fascinating about James Bond is that you can see film and film trends evolve throughout the series. So in the 70s, you get like blaxploitation. In the 80s, it's all like, you know, trendy. You know, 1977, they release a Bond film. Same year Star Wars comes out. The next Bond film, set in space. Because they're like, everyone likes space now. So we're going to release Moonraker and it's going to be set in space.
Yeah.
That was based on a book, but he doesn't go to space in the book. But in the film, Bond's in space. You can follow, you know, when the Bourne films came out, suddenly James Bond's doing shaky cam fight sequences right. where he's stabbing people in the leg.
Next one, he's doing TikTok dances and that sort of thing.
Exactly. So it's like, you know, all of cinema from 1962 to now summed up in a beautiful, fun, kind of campy at times, kind of gritty at times action series across six actors. And it's probably the best thing ever made.
Only six actors?
Yeah, you got Sean Connery. I can't remember how many they each did, but Sean Connery, George Lazenby, who only did one, famously, on Her Majesty's Secret Service, good one, Roger Moore, Timothy Dalton, Pierce Brosnan, Daniel Craig.
You're like something from The Undateables. This is incredible. And I'm sure you've had this asked to you, but best Bond, worst Bond?
Ooh, you know, people talk... People I spend time with, they talk a lot. Well, no, actually, the general public talk a lot about like a Fleming accurate Bond, like a Bond who's accurate to the books.
Yeah.
And I think they always think that means like gritty, but the books are like pretty goofy. Like in the book of Dr. No, he fights a giant squid.
See, now if that was in the film, yeah. I would go every day.
Yeah. After literally having gone through basically Saw, like Dr. No sets up like an assault course of like torture for him, and then he fights a squid. Like the books can be very silly.
Yeah.
So, you know, who is the most accurate Bond? I don't know. I mean, I've got a real soft spot for Pierce Brosnan because he was Bond when I was a boy,
yeah.
a wee-in. I think Daniel Craig is amazing. I think Daniel Craig has just got like this incredible, you just look at his face and there's just like an energy to him, an enigma to him that's amazing. Every one of them has got something great.
Yeah.
In terms of the worst one, you're probably going to give it to George Lazenby because he only did one. He wasn't really a qualified actor when he did it. He was just an Australian guy who basically blagged his way into being James Bond. It's great, kind of a cool story. I like them all.
And where do we stand on Aaron Taylor Johnson?
I can buy it as being true.
Yeah.
I went to a concert they did a year or two ago called The Sound of 007 at the Royal Albert Hall where they just played loads of music from Bond. And it was the interval, and I was like in a, you know, walking through a stairwell, and I looked out the window, and I went, "That's Aaron Taylor Johnson," and he was there with his wife, you know, having a smoke or whatever, or just standing outside, and me and my wife were at the window staring at him, and he looked up at us, and he was like like this, but at the time I thought, "Why are you here, Aaron Taylor?" I mean, he might just be a fan.
Yeah, I mean, there was probably more than just you four in that
sure,
room.
Sure, yeah.
Any one of them could have been.
I had spotted him because he was the other person across the thing who bought the ticket. But, you know, there had been rumours even at that time. I think he's a good choice. I heard there had been so many tabloid rumours about that they were potentially looking at someone quite young to be Bond, like 30. Because obviously it takes a long time to make Bond films these days. They want to get quite a few films out of them. They want to start young. The rumour was they couldn't really find anyone super young who had the right gravitas. Because mm-hmm. Henry Cavill was the runner-up to Daniel Craig. And the only reason he didn't get it, well, one of the reasons he didn't get it was that he was too young, because I think he was like 22.
Really?
Yeah. He was like 22 and he was viable as James Bond, mainly because look at him.
Yeah.
And he lost out to Daniel Craig. But like, you know, you got to have a real gravitas as a young actor to be James Bond.
Yeah. If you're Bond, you have to be able to like advertise watches yeah. and cars and beers. And so you have to be like a model as well.
Yeah, you got to be cool. Yeah. You got to be, you know, you got to be a lot of the sex symbol. I think Aaron Taylor Johnson is an interesting choice because he's like established, but he's not so established that it wouldn't make sense for him to take that role.
Yeah.
Like when people said Henry Cavill, it's like he's Superman. They're not going to let Superman be James Bond. It's too many things. You know what I mean? Whereas, you know, Aaron's done big roles, but he's available.
Yeah, I think he will be great. I think, why not Chris Pratt?
Yeah.
He's doing everything at this point. He's sure. Garfield, he's Mario, let's give him Bond.
I think they would only do it if they'd animated Bond and made him the voice, because that's his move now.
Which, again, I would love to watch. If there was a little cartoon James Bond, that would have me sold.
Aaron Taylor Johnson, I think it makes the most sense. I might eat my words, but I can't really think who else there would be.
I really thought Reggae Jean Page.
Yes, the guy from Bridgerton.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, possibly. But, you know, we don't know. Maybe he didn't have the acting chops. I've never seen him in... He was good in Bridgerton, but I've never seen him.
Have you seen The Grey Man?
No. Thankfully, no.
He was in that.
Right.
And that's where we go with that.
Sure.
Yeah, but he gives off Bond vibes. Yeah. I think he'd be very cool. And I think, yeah, with Bridgerton, like, again, he could do the sponsorship deals.
Have you seen Monkey Man yet?
No. I want to see it so bad.
Because, first of all, Monkey Man, freaking rules. Great movie. Really cool movie. Dev Patel, I think, would be a cool Bond. How old is Dev Patel, actually? You know, he's pretty young.
He must be, like, mid-30s.
Yeah, I wouldn't be against a Dev Patel Bond.
That's a great shout. But then again, has he now done Monkey Man? And you go, I've seen you fight. Yeah. I've seen you fight. I don't need to see that anymore.
Plus, also, Monkey Man is, like, you know, not to reduce it to, like, it's exactly like this, but, like, it's got that John Wick. He's doing, because he's actually a qualified, I didn't realize this, he's a qualified martial arts guy.
Yeah.
So he's doing proper fighting in it that, like, Bond doesn't do. You know, Bond is a bit more of a slugger.
As a diehard Bond fan, I have 007 questions for you.
Oh, my God.
I'm getting really tired of this pun, but that's the only thing I knew about James Bond.
I just don't understand what this 007 thing is you keep referencing. I have no idea.
It's the go-to reference I had. That's all I had to base this on.
I need you to understand, Dad, that if I can't get any of these questions, it's going to destroy me.
Yeah, no, and that's what I really want.
I know, it's good. That's good TV.
I'm the movie dweeb again.
And I'm the Bond dweeb.
You know what? If you get one wrong, I think you just have to make a deep plea down the camera to every James Bond actor that you are probably the worst fan that there is, that you're scum.
Okay. Yeah.
So we'll start with number one. And again, these answers may not even be
001.
I've not seen Bond, so these questions could all be completely wrong.
Okay.
Which Bond villain famously had a third nipple?
Ooh, famously. That was Scaramanga, the man with the golden gun.
I believe that's correct.
Thank you.
Thank God you said it as well, because I was like, Scaramangio.
Jumanji.
Who is the only singer to perform more than one James Bond theme?
That is Shirley Bassey. Can I say, when I went to that Sound of 007 event, Dame Shirley Bassey was there, and she went on first, which is interesting. Wow. But I think it's maybe because she's an older lady, and also she's like cream of the crop.
Yeah.
So you don't want to like sit backstage for 3 hours. She's like, I'm turning up, darling, and I'm doing my song or whatever.
It was like she was here in the room, by the way. Yeah, that was spot on.
But she came out. Can I swear on the show?
Oh, swear.
She freaking killed it.
No,
she was unbelievable. Like the pipes were calling. the pipes were unbelievable. And it set a really high standard for the rest of the singers. The rest of the singers were really good. But it was like, I think Ray was possibly there, actually. It was kind of cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Unless I'm misremembering, I might have seen her do a different thing. But it was such a high bar. And the singer who had to follow, kind of walked on stage and was like, oh my God, I have to follow Dame Shirley Bassey singing Goldfinger.
I love the scoops I get on this podcast. If you go, Dame Shirley Bassey, actually a good singer.
Actually a good singer.
What a scoop. Take that to the press.
I looked over and Aaron was going like, wowza.
Can you give me the songs that Shirley Bassey did do, or the films that she sang to?
She did Goldfinger.
Yes.
She did Diamonds Are Forever.
Yeah.
And she also did Moonraker, which she famously doesn't like, and I don't think performs.
How does it go? Because I have no idea.
It's really not very memorable. It's there is a bit where it goes, just like the Moonraker goes.
Yeah, no, that's great.
Yeah, what's fun about it is that it's really slow and kind of dull, but then over the closing credits, they do a disco version of it because it was 1977, and that's more fun.
Honestly, you're selling me on James Bond.
There we go.
Squids and Disco.
You should watch Moonraker, because that is a really nuts, fun film.
Wasn't there one that was like sort of an unofficial one that's like a comedy?
Correct. Well, there's two. So there was a film called Casino Royale, came out in 67, I want to say, that it has loads of celebrities in it and is like unwatchable. It's like barely a movie. Mm-hmm. It's got like amazing sets and whatever, but there's like no plot. It's like kind of 60s psychedelic humor, I guess you could call it. But it's like unwatchable because it's like so boring and nonsensical.
Right, okay.
It's just nothing. It's so weird. But then there was Never Say Never Again, which was a competitor Bond film that came out in the 80s. That came out the same year as Octopussy, which was an official James Bond film.
Yeah.
And he had the Battle of the Bonds at the cinema that summer.
The more you say about these facts, the more I worry that you're just going to ace this. Because the next one's like, what is James Bond's surname? So.
Okay.
How many actors have played Miss Moneypenny in official James Bond films?
Okay. So Lois Maxwell played Miss Moneypenny for a really long time.
Yeah.
And then a woman who I believe was called Caroline Bliss.
You believe very correctly.
Played Miss Moneypenny. I think maybe only one or possibly two. Mm. Timothy Dalton era. Then Samantha Bond. Perfect name.
Samantha.
Played Miss Moneypenny. And then there was no Moneypenny for a while. And then you had Naomi Harris, who is... I love Naomi Harris.
Yeah.
Just seems like the nicest person alive.
Hurtful.
Second nicest person alive.
Thank you. Good to... How many podcasts of hers have you been on?
She's a really good like ambassador for Bond stuff. Like whenever they're like opening a new Bond thing, she'll just be there and she's just delighted. To be... Like one time they launched a James Bond Lego set.
Yeah.
And she was at the Lego shop in Leicester Square at like 9 a.m. because I went over. And she was like, happy to be here.
As if it's just you, Naomi Harris, and Aaron Taylor-Johnson just touring everything that there is to do with Bond. What is the name of the gyrocopter Bond flies in You Only Live Twice?
That's Little Nelly.
Jesus Christ! Yeah, this is scarily good.
It's a real little mini helicopter.
Yeah.
And it's a sequence where he's supposed to be flying over the volcanoes of Japan. I think they filmed it in, like, Tenerife or something.
Yeah.
But it's, like, incredible real aerial photography of him in this little thing battling these helicopters. And I saw it in the cinema. They did like a re-showing of it.
Mm.
And it's just one of those things of like, because it's pre-CGI and everything, it's just real. And it looks so sick.
That's really cool.
I saw it a day after I saw Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
I saw someone got hit by a bus the day after that. And I was like, this is still so much better.
I didn't hate that movie, but it's like, that's a really CGI-y movie.
Yeah.
And so going from that to like a very, like a no CGI movie is obviously... Whiplash.
That moment where the eye opens on
his
forehead.
That's a bad moment.
Weird for it to be included in a James Bond film.
I know.
Yeah. Really confusing.
That's Little Nelly.
Which Bond film holds a record for containing the highest number of deaths?
Oh, wow. As in on-screen character deaths?
How many stuntmen sadly passed away?
Damn, you might have genuinely stumped me. I could do this forever, by the way. I'm having such a fun time.
Oh, good. Because a lot of people are eager to leave.
I'm trying to think of a film where he's like really killing people. I mean, Tomorrow Never Dies, he's got like a machine gun on the go and he's really mowing people down.
Right.
Oh God.
My heart is beating.
I mean, Quantum of Solace, is quite a lot of death in Quantum of Solace. I guess it's going to be a newish one. I don't know.
What would you like to lock in?
Let's go Tomorrow Never Dies. That was my gut instincts.
So apparently...
Yeah.
It was You Only Live Twice.
What? Wow, okay. There's a proper battle at the end, like an army-on-army battle. So that doesn't surprise me.
Don't try and come in now, like... Oh,
now that I remember.
I think at this point, you now have to do the emotional play. We'll continue the rest of it to see just how much you have to grovel.
Okay.
In Moonraker, what is the name of the woman who Jaws falls in love with?
Dolly.
Smashed it, if only that had come sooner.
Can I tell you another fun fact?
This better be fun.
This one's kind of interesting. There's a Mandela effect about her, right? But there's a scene where Jaws, the guy with, he's got metal teeth.
Mm.
Like, that's his, like, he's really tall and he's got metal teeth and he's really strong. There's a scene where he falls in love with this tiny woman and there's a scene where he smiles at her, revealing his teeth.
Yeah.
And she smiles back. And there's tons of people who have a Mandela effect memory that she has braces.
Okay.
Because that seems like the obvious joke.
Yeah.
He would smile with metal teeth and she would smile back with braces. But she doesn't have braces and she's never had braces. But there are tons of people who will swear that she had braces at some point.
And finally, which official Bond film has the lowest score on Rotten Tomatoes?
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, my instinct is that it's going to be Die Another Day. Mm. But then I suppose the score is determined by official reviews.
Yep. Critics.
From critics. And critics sometimes will be quite favourable to a Bond film at the time. Die Another Day.
This depends on how much you have to grow. So if you get this wrong, I want like tears.
Oh, God. I'm going to say Die Another Day.
At the bottom of the list is A View to Kill.
That's shocking, but I get that. It's a bit of a contro film.
Why is it so bad?
It's a bit bad. It's a bit wacky.
Well,
it's got Christopher Walken in it, though.
It's a James Bond. No, that wasn't good. That was my Chris Pratt as a Mario.
Yeah, I was gonna say, yeah.
As you've really let yourself down, you've let the Bond boys down.
Yes, as we like to be known.
I want you to look straight down the camera and apologise to Barbara Broccoli.
Yep.
To everyone involved in the Bond franchise.
To everyone in the Bond franchise. to Barbara Broccoli, to Michael G. Wilson, to James Bond, to Samantha Bond. I want to offer my heartiest apology. If I could be whipped in the balls...
You can.
Perhaps I should be for that. I'm 00 sorry.
Oh, brilliant. Well, thank you.
Please, can we just keep doing that forever? That's so fun.
I've got no more questions. I'm like, James Bond, does he like to wear socks? Yeah. Yes or no?
He doesn't like to wear shoelaces.
Does he not?
No, that's a weird thing I've remembered from the books, yeah.
Honestly, it's scary.
Yeah.
Like, you haven't blinked in about half an hour. It's terrifying. Why does he not like to wear shoelaces?
I think it's like, because, you know, the author was a military man, and I think he kind of just, and a guy with a lot of weird opinions, and so he infused the book with a lot of that. And I guess it's like, if you're a man of action, you don't want to be tripping over your laces. You don't want to worry about tying them up. You need to be able to ready to go at any time.
Which is why, if we were now Secret Service men, we'd both die.
Dead.
That's the only reason, because of our shoelaces.
We're in the ground already, yeah.
But otherwise, Christ, I would karate chop some.
Oh, of course, yeah. We're like SAS.
Bosh, bosh.
Yeah.
So what does he wear instead? Like, sliders?
Yeah, he wears Adidas sliders. Now, he wears, like, you know those, like, boots that look like smart shoes because the trouser sort of hides the boot...
The ones that are made for walking.
Yeah, and that's just what they'll do.
Finally, I put in a little interview here.
Yeah.
I think me and you are probably two of the funniest people on the planet.
Arguably, yeah.
Yeah, not even like two of, like the two.
Yeah. That's...
I thought that until I spoke to Bobby Lee and Gator.
Yeah. I like Bobby Lee.
I'm going to play the interview and we're just going to now sit back for the foreseeable and just listen to it.
Do I have to react or do anything? Or am I just listening to this?
For the podcast sake, you're going to react.
Oh, so I not... really thought you were going to play it live in the room. And I was like, okay, Dan, if you want. I really thought that.
How are you two lads doing?
Good.
Good, that's what I want to hear. By the way, guys, I just finished the film. My God, I did not know how much I was going to love this film.
Really?
You don't have to sound so surprised. You're meant to be promoting this film. You're meant to love it as well.
I know, I love it, but I'm just saying, you're the first person to say that in the Zoom, so that's thank you so much for saying that.
That's all right.
Yeah, the movie was fun, man. It was dope. I loved it too.
One scene I did love, Gator, you and Bobby get to hash it out. You get to have some beef with each other. But I hear it was very different off camera. I hear that Bobby was actually very, very, very complimentary with you to like a creepy level. What were some of the weirdest compliments Bobby said to you?
Man, he really didn't have any weird compliments, man. He just always kept me laughing and stuff. You know, it was my first time, you know, really like hanging out with him. Always heard great things about him. And he works with one of my cast members on the Dave Show. So actually being able to meet him in person, you know, just see his vivacious spirit and all his jokes come to life. It was dope, man. One of my favorite comedians.
Wait, Gator, I hadn't met you before the movie?
I don't think so, no.
Oh, okay.
I just always heard about you.
And that was nice?
Nah, you was definitely nice to me, bro. But
oh,
see, this
wow,
is you know,
weird, okay.
See, people might think you might be a smart aleck or an asshole, but I get it, bro. I get it.
Okay.
You even look surprised that someone said you were nice there, Bobby.
No, I mean, I think that, no, I'm a nice guy. I could just be a little too silly, and I'm a lot for some people, so. But if you
he's just brutally honest, yo. No matter if you like it or not, that's just him.
Okay, let's move on, man.
Well, Bobby, as I said, I adored this film, but with every scene that went by, I hated Johnny Knoxville a little bit more because I was like, his talents know no ends.
He's so talented.
Stunt performer, actor, he can play softball.
Yeah, he killed it, dude.
I even saw he looks good in a wetsuit. I learned that from this film.
Yeah.
Now,
I remember one scene where, you know, it was an emotional scene. I was sitting next to him, and after one of the takes, I just kind of turned to him and I go, holy shit, you're a good actor. It was like stunning almost. It was like, I mean, I always knew that he could act, but it was like, it really took me out. I mean, it just, I was blown away. I mean, it was incredible.
Well, I think we stopped complimenting here because he's going to get so much of that today. You've worked with him closely now, Bobby. Did you find something that he was absolutely shit at? Was there anything he couldn't do?
No. I mean, he beat me in 9 games of chess. We wrestled. He beat me in that. It was weird. Yeah, he's perfect.
Tell me more about the wrestling match.
I was lying.
No, but I'm going to cut that and we're going to roll with it. I'm getting those clicks. Gator, I saw you took your buddy, Little Dicky, to watch Sweet Dreams in the cinema.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy you 2 more tickets to go see it. One for you and one for your other co-star. You have to pick one out of Brad Pitt or Sydney Sweeney. Who are you taking out of those two? Who's paying for the snacks? Tell me about this cinema outing.
I definitely probably would take Sydney Sweeney for sure. I would definitely take Sydney Sweeney. She would pick out the snacks and I would just, you know, be happy to show her, you know, like, hey, look at what I'm doing, because she always doing something.
Finally, Bobby, when you're not making feel-good movies with Johnny Knoxville, you're eating Burger King with Jamie Lee Curtis in Budapest.
Yeah.
I mean, every day on set of Borderlands must have been like, what is my life? What's the one moment or story from filming Borderlands that just seems too wild to believe? Something that probably won't believe.
So, you know, my agent had told me, like, you know, no, you're going to be alone for a while in Budapest because, you know, there's huge stars in it. And I don't know if they're going to want to hang out with you. So I prepared myself just to be alone. But when I flew in and I went into my hotel room, there was a letter from Jamie Lee Curtis. And she goes, I don't know you, but I'd like to meet you. Meet me for lunch the next day. And, you know, that letter was just incredible. And I met her and she was just she's a mensch and she's super kind. And the whole movie was like that. So I was just kind of blown away. I thought that I was going to be intimidated, but no, it was pretty cool, man.
Where is that letter now? Because I would have that like tattooed on my chest.
I lost it. Yeah, I don't know where it is.
Good luck getting another one of them.
Sorry. Yeah.
Well, guys, I'm going to have to go now, but thank you so much for bringing this film into my life, guys. Thank you.
No doubt, bro. Appreciate you, man. Hey, I love that Leon professional back there you got up there.
I'm devastated because that's actually my fiance's. She picked that out. That's not even my doing.
Oh, yeah. That's one of my favorite movies, bro. That movie dope.
Well, I'm not going to tell her that. I'm going to say it was all my doing. So, yeah.
And then we come off the back of it and you're going to say, my God, that was probably the best interview you've ever heard.
Yeah, I'm glad we sat and listened to that in the room.
What was your favorite part of it that you definitely have heard?
Oh, God. I mean, the way that thing Bobby had to say, man.
Yeah, well, what was your favorite bit that I said? Like, quote it if you want.
Probably just the bit where you said, look at my nipple, Bobby Lee.
I did say that as
I
well.
Knew I you did. I knew you did.
Well, I think that's all we've got time for, mainly because I need to rehydrate because I'm honestly melting away
in this room.
In this room. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for letting me just like hairdryer you with Bond information.
Yeah, usually there's a lot more chat about other stuff. I had so much more we could have spoken about. I was actually going to raise awareness for charities in this, but we don't have time for it.
Let's
now.
Raise awareness for James Bond. How about this? Before the next time I'm on the podcast, which I assume will be soon.
Oh, very soon.
How about you go away and watch every single Bond film? Make notes.
I'd love to do some of those things that you've mentioned.
Take the 2024 Benedict Townsend James Bond Challenge. Everyone's talking about it. Where you watch every James Bond film. And then send me £10 to say you've done it.